This morning we have not just the complexity of this morning prayer service that I've thrown at you in the season of Epiphany, but we also have the great honor of baptizing Lauren, whose parents were married here in this church about 20 years ago. How cool is that, that she gets to be baptized in the same space where her parents were married before God? So that's a real honor for us, and we're really so glad that you're here with us this morning at this 8 o'clock service. So last week, I preached on the gospel passage that was just before this one. We're in the first chapter of Mark here. And I shared with you that one of my favorite things to do, something I've done several times, is to sit down with somebody over the course of about a couple of months and read through the first half of the gospel of Mark, and then stop in chapter 8, where Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give him a variety of responses. And then he turns the question on them and says, "And who do you say that I am?" And I wanted to suggest that that's a great question for each of us. Who do I say that Jesus is? Who do you say? And the point of doing it this way is that if you're reading the first 8 chapters of Mark first, that's giving you a whole bunch of data to start thinking about, well, who is this? So last week was fascinating. This week is fascinating too. It's a short gospel passage, but so typical of Mark. It's condensed. It's sort of like Mark is like the dehydrated gospel. It's just all very tight, but very packed. And today's gospel passage is no exception. So even though there's not a whole lot of words there, there are three very interesting things that happen in this gospel passage. The first is Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. And what I find really powerful about this, and this is one of those little details that spiritually alert folks have noticed. In fact, I just heard somebody pray about this 2 weeks ago, something like that. You'll notice that she's healed, and then immediately she gets up and serves Jesus. Now, this is unusual. Let me give you a contrast case. In the Gospel of Luke, there's the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers, and they all run away, with the exception of one who turns around and thanks Jesus and praises God. And Jesus says, "Well, where are the 9? So first of all, I share that story with you because for me it's been a really important one. If you go out trying to be a good person in the name of Jesus, helping other people, you can expect to not always be thanked. And so, you know, I discovered this, you know, once you put on one of these collars, you go out doing good, and then you discover that people aren't often all that grateful for the things that you're doing. And I would think, well, what am I doing wrong? And then I hit that passage, and I'm like, all right, well, you know what, if Jesus was hitting 1 in 10, I can't expect to be doing much better than that. So most people, most of us human beings, don't get it most of the time. Simon's mother-in-law gets it. She's healed, and then she immediately turns around and starts serving. That's the proper dynamic, that God, Jesus, is this healer, and that our proper response when we receive that good news, when our heart is curiously warmed, when we feel love, when we feel forgiven, the proper response is to turn around and to do that with others, or to turn around and do it to the one that gave it to us. So that's a very short little story, but worth remembering, because not everybody responds that way when Jesus provides the good news. The next thing, it goes immediately to a story. Oh, and immediately is the word, of course, that keeps cropping up in Mark. As I said, it's a very condensed, like, fast-paced gospel. Immediately goes out, he heals, and it's got this interesting detail that we explored a little bit last week of he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And I told you last week that this is a theme we're going to hit again and again in Mark. And it's this theme of the messianic secret. That Jesus is going around doing these amazing things. And, well, if he were around now, he wouldn't be posting it on Facebook. He would be keeping it a secret. And the question is, why? If he's good, if he's the light of the world, if he's come to save, why is it that when he's going around doing the good work, he doesn't want people to know in a certain way? He doesn't want that being proclaimed. There's no one answer to this. I gave you several suggestions. You can go on the website and hear the sermon from last week if you want to chew on it a little bit more. But the point, ultimately, that I want to invite you into is that you get that mystery and the meaning of it the more you study it, the more you read these stories, the more you read and reread the gospel, and the more you get a sense of who this is and what he is about. It's the messianic secret. And it pops up right here in the middle of this gospel passage. Now, finally, in the last part of this brief gospel passage, we get a very important, fundamentally important contrast in who Jesus is and how he goes about the work that he does. We get this picture of Jesus going out early, early in the morning, all by himself to pray to God. Just this little passage here is a deeply important passage in the Christian tradition. This precise passage is one of the ones that brought people in the 4th century to leave cities and to go out into the desert to simply be alone in silence with God. They looked at the model of some of the Old Testament figures, but to Jesus specifically. It doesn't happen that often that it tells that Jesus did this, but it happens often enough that it's clearly a part of who he was and what he did. That he did that inward work, if you will, of going and talking to his Father, of praying, of being still. But then it says that he went immediately out and he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Why? Because that is what he came to do. Now, I hold this up because this is the kind of life that I'm wanting us to live here at St. Paul's. Our mission statement, as I think you know, is following Jesus together in prayer, worship, and service. What I would like us to embrace is the inward journey of prayer and the outward journey of service. Contemplation and action. It's the mixed life. And this is an important passage for us because it shows us that the one who we follow, remember we're following Jesus together in prayer, worship, and service, did this first. He both took the time to pray and went out and served. So we're doing a junior varsity version of that. When I'm inviting us to do 20 minutes of prayer each morning and an hour a week of service, hopefully leading towards friendship of the least, of the poor in Marin. These are the moments in Scripture that give us that image of what that life is like, following Jesus, inward journey, outward journey, contemplation, action, prayer, and service. So, Lauren, I've just given a little bit of a taste of what this whole life is like, being baptized, being a member of the Christian community, the sorts of things that we do and the kind of person that we follow. And I can tell you, I'm just looking around this church, that it's worth a whole lifetime of reflection. And so you're just beginning a pretty great adventure. I can commend it highly, having been at it now for 45 years. And there are some who've been at it a little even longer than that. So you're just beginning a great adventure. And it's such an honor. I think I can speak on behalf of all of us that we get to be here together as you start this journey with us, your new family, the family of God. Amen.